A very good day, good listener, and thank you so much as always for clicking on this podcast and this particular episode of Joe Blogs About Films, whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener. Like I state on every episode, it means the world. Thank you so much for clicking, for spinning, for sharing, whatever it is. I really do appreciate all your support. It's no secret that I am a big, big Jurassic Park fan. Like many, the first Jurassic was incredibly influential, and its impact is everlasting on me and my love for cinema. Spielberg created something truly special that the films that have followed have sadly never been able to generate that same feeling or reaction. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, because how on earth can you possibly top that first Jurassic Park film, man? Like, come on, it was a game changer. Since JP's release in 1993, we've now had six films that have followed, all of which have come under heavy scrutiny, but it seems the latest installment, Jurassic World Rebirth, helmed by one of my favourite directors, Gareth Edwards, is taking a lot more flack than any of the other sequels that dropped before. Rebirth was quite high on my most anticipated list for this year, which, given how disappointed I was on the back of 2022's lackluster Dominion, I would say that was pretty good going. I felt that after Fallen Kingdom and Dominion, I was quite happy just to let the franchise rest a little. But then the teaser came out for Rebirth, and that young little dino nerd within couldn't help himself get excited, as I honestly thought it looked like a lot of fun. It's not that it looked like, you know, the best of the year candidate or anything like that, but it did look a far superior film to what we had been given from Universal prior, and I have to say, I've come away fairly happy and very much enjoyed what Edwards and the team have put together, even if it is just a little messy. I stress that this by no means is a perfect film. It is a very basic B-movie monster flick that doesn't really push itself any further than necessary. But in a way, that kind of worked for me, as we'd been given such bloated and over-the-top storylines within the Jurassic World trilogy that a simple reset was needed in my eyes. The script is paper thin, the characters are arguably two-dimensional, there's no huge philosophical angle regarding man and nature or the idea of control over these animals. Sure, there's the discussion and theme of medical research for profit, but it's just all surface-level stuff. Member berries are thrown in with endless nods to that first JP film. Not kidding, you could turn Rebirth into a drinking game of what Easter eggs are included, and I think you'd have passed out after the first 45 minutes. But when all is said and done, Rebirth scratched an itch for me that I've been wanting since 2015's Jurassic World, and I genuinely was all there for it. It very much felt like a Frankenstein monster of the Jurassic saga, taking elements from all six films that we've had so far and combining them to give us an epic adventure into a new world and island that we hadn't seen before. And I had a fun time with it. Having it shot on film as well brought so much more life to what we were seeing on screen, fully immersing you in this forgotten land. Each action set piece involving the big three dinos that these human characters are searching for, they're highly entertaining and bring back that fear factor, all down to how they've been presented within this latest Jurassic release. Not to mention the mutants that we get to see in this one too, adding that extra layer of suspense, as well as just something a little refreshing, which is impressive since hybrid dinosaurs had run stale with everything that had come prior within that Jurassic World trilogy. Even though the script doesn't really push itself, I thought the sequences involving all the dinosaurs this time round had so much more intensity and ferocity that it makes Rebirth have that rewatchability factor that the last couple of films they've lacked massively. At the end of the day, Rebirth has provided me with enough to come away feeling somewhat happy with returning to that familiar formula of just people on an island trying to survive and avoid being eaten by the beasts that reside there. It had potential to be really, really great, so that's where the disappointment creeps in, but I would still say it's good, and I will absolutely take that. But before I proceed, a quick thank you again for clicking and spinning this episode and podcast. If you like what you hear, make sure to hit the follow and notification button on the streaming app of your choice. That way, you will never miss any updates or episodes, and you can hear me waffle away as much as you like. Also, jump onto Facebook and Instagram and search Joe Blogs About Films. Give us a like and follow on there. On Instagram, you can see all of my steelbooks, which, yes, of course, I have the entire Jurassic saga on steelbook, so you can check those out too. But finally, rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or basically wherever. It helps a lot, it means a lot, and once again, I thank you for your constant support. 5 years after the events of Jurassic World Dominion, an expedition braves isolated equatorial regions to extract DNA from three massive prehistoric creatures for a groundbreaking medical breakthrough. As I stated at the start of this episode, I love me some Jurassic Park, and so does Gareth Edwards. The director has shown the influence that the original film had on him as a filmmaker in pretty much every film that he's worked on, in particular that scale and wonder aspect. If there's one thing that Rebirth gets absolutely right, it's showing how giant these creatures are, whilst also generating some terrific scares to come along with them. I would argue that Rebirth is the best looking Jurassic film, I mean, maybe outside of the original, and that can be down down to shooting on location and on film. Edwards transports you onto this new island, presenting the beauty and horror that comes along with it. And this is all played out wonderfully. The biggest positive for Rebirth are those set pieces. The ones where you're front and center to some really impressive dinosaur action, as our Legion are trying to get these samples of their blood. There are, of course, more grounded and intimate dinosaur moments, harking back to, you know, the raptors in the kitchen sequence from the first, but the spectacle and ways in which Edwards puts these dinosaurs on screen is genuinely enthralling and tap into that awe-inspiring wonder that made the first Jurassic so impactful. It's not as impactful, of course, or, you know, as good as the original, but Rebirth manages to make these dinosaurs feel like actual animals, and again, just not mindless, thoughtless killing machines. Just seeing a T-Rex asleep on its back after a meal, or a herd of titanosaurs snuggle and wander off together, gave me far more emotion than anything that Jurassic World Dominion did. If you remember as well, Colin Trevorrow said that Dominion was going to be like BBC's Planet Earth at times, and he lied. Rebirth, however, did have that feel of these animals coexisting on an island, and the humans were most definitely strangers in a strange land. Sure, yeah, the CGI in places is very iffy, I'm not gonna lie, and part of me questions why they changed and removed scenes that were included in the original teaser and replaced them with some subpar shots that did not do the film's special effects any favours. Most notably, that opening breakout scene. In the trailer, there was this ominous wide shot of the poor sod banging on the glass door to exit, whilst the new big bad, you know, surrounded by all those red lights and smoke, the D-Rex, you know, lurked and moved closer. In the final product, however, this was changed, and instead it looked pretty mid and clunky with that heavy CGI, you know, just of this beast behind him. Like, it's stuff like that where I feel Rebirth is just asking for people to criticize. I will talk more about the set pieces, including that opening, of course, but I just want to jump to the characters quickly and get those out of the way, because if you're looking for excellent dialogue and no one making a single dumb decision, then perhaps just stick with watching the original, because Rebirth, yeah, the characters in here are pretty flat, putting that nicely. Outside of Jonathan Bailey, whose character Dr. Henry Loomis is by far the best of the bunch and actually has a bit of something and cares for these animals, you know, having studied them all his life, everyone else in here is somewhat forgettable. Scarlett Johansson is close second behind Bailey. She is, you know, this straightforward mercenary that has got a little bit of baggage, having lost a close friend on a recent mission, and she's looking to make a bit of coin by helping the standard and clear as day villain that's going to 100% betray them. Martin Krebs, played by Rupert Friend, catching all the dino DNA to make a cure for heart disease. Problem is, the dialogue in this film is very paint by numbers and basic. It's a lot of tell, not show, and that just not good. They spell everything out and treat the audience like we're dumb, which, sure, I can let that slide to an extent, but there are moments where there's so much exposition and character background being word-vommed that you start to think someone inexperienced has written this thing, but no, this is David Koepp, the guy that wrote Jurassic Park and the Lost World screenplays. He's penned this thing. Like, I don't know if he's lost his touch. I mean, he has written so many fantastic films that we all love, but recently, I just don't know what's happening, because it's very weak. I don't think all is bad in here, it's just the dialogue and the overall story really could have done with some more time in the oven. Mahershala Ali is also in this one, playing Duncan Kincaid, who I thought was a pretty fun character to have there. You know, he brought a good dynamic with ScarJo and the rest of the team, and the only character really to display any emotion when his colleagues and friends are getting picked off, which again lent more into that realism, because you would be devastated seeing people you care for getting swallowed whole or munched, you know. But again, even with those positives for this character, we have his backstory just completely spell out for us. He has lost a child, and thus his relationship with his partner is broken down. So this makes him that guy now that will protect the kids that join them at any cost. The film script really does treat the audience as if it's just not paying attention. This brings me to the family that's in this film, the Delgados. Now, these guys are getting a lot of hate from people online, possibly a little more than necessary. Like, I do agree that Rebirth does feel like two scripts forced together. We have the military operation, all that going off, and then the family dynamic. I do think this family are in no way near the levels of awfulness that the franchise has delivered before. JP3, Jurassic World Trilogy, there are way worse human characters and family dynamics in those ones. There's enough room to grow with this family. It's nothing outside the box, but there are, like, character arcs in there. Very minor, yes. There is still some form of development for the characters, is what I'm getting at. The Delgados were in the wrong place at the wrong time, sadly. Questionable parenting to travel across waters that are dino-infested. Sure, yeah, okay, but again, I'm looking past those niggles because the script wants me to. That that being said, I thought both the sequences involving the Mosasaurus capsizing the family boats and then returning along with its Spino friends for ScarJo and team, that were absolutely edge of your seat stuff, and the Jaws nods in those moments were a very welcoming addition for this Spielberg fan, I can tell you that much. Brings me back to some more positives I have for this film, which of course are the location and set pieces, the best undoubtedly being the river raft scene that has been taken from the original book. This was heart-pounding stuff. The suspense was exquisite. Super effective at seeing this T-Rexion of stalk and follow this family down the river. It really was terrific and it looked stunning. Author Michael Crichton has a ton of ideas in his novels that I think still have a place in modern movies should they choose to adapt any more of them, and it was just awesome to see this one come to live action because it really is a killer sequence. I think all three of the dino sequences involving extracting their DNA were big wins. The most surprising for me was the Quetzalcoatlus sequence. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. There we go. It looked fun from the trailer, but I wasn't expecting it to be as dramatic as it was, bringing again that fear factor that these flying dinosaurs are just as threatening as the ones on the ground. It felt like something out of a classic stop-motion dinosaur or monster film at times did this particular scene. The way in which we have Mahershala Ali and Rupert Friend at the top of the cliff, you know, pulling the guy up with the rope to be then greeted with this giant bird with said friend in its mouth, all rope still attached to them. We get the more emotional side too with seeing these animals in the wild through Jonathan Bailey's Dr. Henry Loomis. Seeing the titanosaurs in their natural habitat is enough to bring those tears for someone that has devoted their entire life studying dinosaurs, and that too was pretty lovely. But the big part of the film that I was excited for personally was understanding and seeing how these mutant and worst of the worst dinosaurs came to be. And Rebirth was both good and bad on this front. The opening of this film introduces us to this island and research facility back in 2010, I believe, as InGen are looking at creating the next big thing. Now, I'm sure some may correct me, but I would assume they were looking at creating hybrid dinosaurs like what we got with the Indominus Rex for that first Jurassic World, and thus these abominations were made on this island. I just felt this was a little bit underwhelming as it's nothing new. Like, I would have much preferred that InGen were making dinosaurs here, some came out wrong, and that they were studying these creatures before ultimately just leaving them there. But this wasn't the case, and in true Jurassic style, the monsters break out and the island is evacuated. And who do we thank for the monsters breaking out? A Snickers wrapper. Remember, kids, put your rubbish in the bin. I didn't absolutely hate this Snicker wrapper instant play out. It does hark back to Ian Malcolm's chaos theory, which I'm all four, absolutely. It just kind of set you up for the film that you were going to get. Speaking of the D-Rex, though, I was again hoping for a little bit more of screen time, but equally, I kind of liked that this monster was just on this island doing its own thing and popping up when it felt like it. It was almost like a black cloud lingering. You knew it was somewhere, but you just didn't know where or how it would appear again. But I will add, they really did bring some terrific moments courtesy of this monster. A personal favourite for me was where the fog and mist was covering a lot of the island and we have our heroes waving down a helicopter that you think is approaching due to that searchlight piercing through the fog, only for it then to be revealed that the helicopter is inside the D-Rex mouth as he carries it forward towards our characters. I genuinely think this is my favourite moment of Rebirth, and possibly my favourite moment out of the entire Jurassic World films that we've had so far. Other mutants in here as well, the perfectly named Mutadons, cross between Velociraptor and a Pterosaur, I think it is, and they have their moments as well. Like, we get the homage to the Raptor kitchen sequence, this time being in a gas station. We also get this terrific moment in which the douchebag boyfriend character goes to take a pee, and whilst he does so, two raptors begin to approach for the kill, only to then be taken out by a mutadon behind him, and he's so terrified to turn around. That all worked very, very well and gave a good insight as to how powerful and frightening these things are. It's a shame that there weren't any more raptors though in this film. Like, where do they go? So this gets a mark down for me because we need some raptors in a Jurassic film, man. Look, I'm not going to try and convince people that Rebirth is the best Jurassic film since the original, because it's not, but I will say that I do think this heavy criticism seems a little much considering it does deliver on spectacle and making dinosaurs frightening again. As much as another island of dinosaurs seems daft, I do like the fact that the film takes place on a deserted island with InGen facilities littered all over the place. It just reminds me, as I say, of Jurassic Park, and I think that's where that nostalgia creeps in for me. Maybe I say it's clouding my judgment, but that's where the fun comes in for me. The fear factor was back and the suspense was really riveting to witness. It's on par, if not just behind, the first Jurassic World in my eyes. It's got a dash of JP3, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you decide. But I still, as I keep saying, had a lot of fun with this one. For me, 7.5 out of 10. I was saying to my friend, I could probably on a good day push this to an 8, which I think that saying 8 seems too high. So I think 7.5 is pretty fair. For me, as I say, as a big JP fan that just wanted to go see a dinosaur island with people on it. It just worked for me. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts anyways on Jurassic World Rebirth. Would love to know your rankings as well. But as always, thank you so much for your support. Keep in touch on the socials, all that jazz. I'll be back with more reviews. Don't you worry. But until the next episode, take care.